We love you.
Obama's Treasury Secretary and another lieutenant in the Army called Obama the National Economic Council Director. Both sidestepped the question of taxes going up as part of what's happening with the economy. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. It's not all going to be doom and gloom on this hour of ATN, but we're also going to talk about Gitmo could be heading to Leavenworth, Kansas. What do I mean by that? Well, some of the detainees, they're taking a hard look at Leavenworth as the place to land those folks and get them off the island. Wonder how the people in Kansas feel about that. The beer party aftermath on the minds of many on the Sunday talk show circuit, and there were all kinds of editorials written in the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times and the Cleveland Plain Dealer, any newspaper that you could possibly imagine that's still operating anyway. So we're going to jump into that fray. Plus Shark Week. Oh, I got to tell you, I got a thing about the Shark Week deal. I've been watching it for a couple of years now on the Discovery Channel. And they started off with blood in the water. Yeah. It's about the very first shark attack ever, 1916. Did you know this? Here's some water cooler buzz. Yeah, it happened in 1916. The first guy was attacked by a shark, Charles Van Stamp. And it wasn't a pretty reenactment on the Discovery Channel. Funny people, number one at the box office. But how much did it really bring in? We'll tell you about that. And we have some other odds and ends as well. Plus the etiquette of texting. Yeah, Miss Manners, a modern-day Miss Manners, is going to join us. And we're going to jaw about when you should and should not text. But first, let's jump back into the beer summit fray. As I said, every comedian, every person with a pen and an editorial thought whip something up on, did it mean anything? Does it open up race discussions, etc.? And here was what two guests had to say on Meet the Press. I thought they were pretty good. Two former congressmen. One is former Congressman Ford. The other is former Congressman J.C. Watts. And listen carefully to what they both say about how Obama handled it and, of course, the aftermath.
I think he feels strongly about those issues, but I think he probably regrets saying it like he said at the press conference and distracted from the health care conversation. But he made the very best of it, brought all four, brought the two of them to the White House. Their families toured the White House at a minimum. Sergeant Crowley and Professor Gates both got to see parts of the White House they probably had never seen, and their kids as well. But it's time to move on. This president was elected not to be the first black president, the first African-American president, the first whatever. People elected him because they wanted a better job. They wanted health care coverage. They wanted us out of these wars, and they wanted America to be put on a safer and secure, more sustained course. So
it's very difficult for political people to talk about the issue of race. And that's very sad. That's unfortunate. I do believe the president wants to talk about the issue. I think he mishandled the Crawley situation, and he, you know, said at the outset, I don't have all the facts. He probably should not have commented on it. However, Professor Gates, as he said, was a personal friend. I think he wants to have this discussion. And this discussion is just too difficult to have in politics, and it's unfortunate. America should be. We put men on the moon. We can Google people. We've got Blackberries. But it's still very uncomfortable for us to talk about the issue of race. And you know, we've got an African-American in the White House. And we can't talk about it in our churches. And I think that's sad.
All right, we can talk about it on America Tonight, but doesn't he have a point, J.C. Watts, and what he says, that truly it is one of those untouchable topics, certainly for a lot of venues and a lot of people. Politics, they both know, Ford and Watts, what they dealt with, and as they saw things unfold around them as well. And also talking about churches, how churches step aside from the issue of race. Do you think ever in our lifetimes, and he makes such a great point, you put a man on the moon, you can Google anyone you want, but yet you can't have this open discussion without name-calling. That's what it is. Because you have to tiptoe around how you say things. Otherwise, you get labeled a racist, or you made the wrong comments, you spun it the wrong way, whatever it is. And I don't have the energy to do that. So whatever I say on this show is exactly what you get from me. There isn't any kind of spin involved in it, right? You can certainly chime in on that later on. Remember, keep the digits handy. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Even in your own communities, do you feel like you could say something if something was bothering you, whether you thought somebody was a racist or whether you thought you had friends who are African-American, Latino, whatever they are, and you feel like they've been done wrong, and yet everybody has to kind of work their way through this. It seems kind of crazy, doesn't it? Well, speaking of the whole beer summit thing, if you remember, Professor Gates was arrested on that disorderly conduct charge, seems so long ago, at his home, Cambridge home, right, after the cops responded to the emergency call from the neighbor who's gotten threats and been called a racist herself for making the 911 call about the possible burglary, right? By the way, Professor Gates apparently sent Lucia Whalen, her name is, sent her a dozen roses, and she wouldn't reveal what the card said, but when he had heard how she was being attacked, he felt so badly about it. He made his first public appearance, besides, of course, the photo op at the White House. He was at a book festival, and he brought it up and kind of joked about his arrest and, you know, said that a lot of things still haven't been resolved, meaning the whole racial profiling thing. And there was about 150 people who came out to see him. He was at Martha's Vineyard when he did this. And mostly, apparently, he was pretty lighthearted during the speech and even made fun of himself after somebody in the crowd told him that, screamed out that he admired his sense of humor. And he said something like he should have been funnier in the kitchen of his house back on July 16th. But he also said this. Because, and remember, he didn't say because of Obama's comments, but once Obama opened that can of worms, of course, there was massive national debate, right? He also had to shut down his email. He had to change his cell phone number because he got death and bomb threats, including one, I guess, that said, "You should die. You're a racist." So how sad the fallout in all this for everyone, including the police, because they've been dealing with similar things. Everybody, I mean, this really lit a fuse. Everybody had an opinion on it, and some of the idiots came out of the woodwork to level threats at all the various people connected to this. So Beer Summit, Beer Gate, whatever you want to call it, is done. It's over with. It took 2 weeks, and what do we gain out of it? A different perspective, maybe. I said this last week. Maybe Gates and Crowley end up doing some work together, since they both in different ways have this issue that they deal with, one as a professor and one on the job in training future police officers in racial sensitivity, because that was one of the Sergeant Crowley things. He was so good at it, apparently, that his fellow officers thought he should be the guy to do it, and lo and behold, he gets in the middle of all of this controversy. Coming up next, there is controversy over texting. Controversy not just in the whole driving thing, because now we see how it's been ratcheted up with accidents when people aren't paying attention. It's just another thing to be a distraction. But also when people are out and they're eating dinner together or they're at a luncheon or something else, they're paying attention and they're texting and not really paying attention to what's going on around them. So we're going to do that next here on ATN.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon coupon box, and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Hi, this is John Swenson again at Midas Resources, and let me ask just one question. What would you list as the things that the federal government does really well? The armed forces and printing bogus money doesn't count. Now take that blank page of yours and list the ways that you have to protect your assets and escape the paper markets. The only real option is precious metals for your retirement, your kids' education, or just plain survival when the whole Obama mess comes crashing down. You are the only one you can count on for a stimulus package, and I'd like to discuss a proven strategy to create that safety net for you and your family. Please give me a call at 800-686-2237, extension 128. That's 800-686-2237, extension 128. And together we can develop a make sense program before the clock runs out. Once more, John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128. And take charge of your future, and thank you.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
She's an international speaker, and she's a modern-day Miss Manners. Susanna Theo joins us, and she founded Protocol and Etiquette Services back in the late 90s. So what a perfect person to help and educate all of you listening to America Tonight about, for example, texting and the wrong time to text. I've seen people texting in movie theaters, so of course you see the light, you know. I've seen people texting in church. I've seen people texting when people are speaking. And, of course, the worst offense, I've seen people doing it in cars. And we know that new study just came out where you have 23 times greater chance to get into an accident. You just ratchet it up like the word I used in our last segment. When you get behind the wheel and you're trying to look down and do that thing with your thumbs, just so, so dangerous. And that takes us a completely different direction. Susanna, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's so true, isn't it? Is it that we don't understand technology and this new, you know, what the etiquette line is? I mean, is there an etiquette line? I think there is, and I'm sure you have an opinion on it.
Yes. Well, we have to, of course, embrace technology. I mean, that's really the first part of, you know, any of this is that, you know, it's wonderful. You know, I myself am a BlackBerry. I have one. I use it. But I am never doing it in my car. I would never even think to do such a thing. But we really have to utilize our technology that we have, which are all wonderful things to help us communicate. But we need to do it with civility. And that's a lot of all the things that you were just mentioning, you know, that people are doing it in movie theaters or they're doing it during class time. That's huge. Text messaging, where students are text messaging each other and they're actually text messaging answers to tests to each other as well.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. And especially, too, like I just find that the more formal events, I'm surprised by that. I mean, all of us, look, I text message, too. It happens to me all the time. But if I'm someplace where I shouldn't be texting or I feel like I'm not, I just put it away. I got to have a line somewhere in my own personal life, too. Otherwise, I'm constantly glued to that because I could be going back and forth with whoever, the assistant of a politician I'm trying to get on the show or somebody who wants me to speak somewhere or whatever it is. whoever it is can wait. If we have to get in touch, I don't think an hour or whatever length of time is too much. I mean, do you think it's that because we have this technology, we feel like we have to instantly get in touch with somebody?
I think there's an element of that, but also just the element of excitement that it is something new, you know, it's something that you can do. But it's interesting what you said, that you do turn it off and you put it away. And
yeah.
That's really and truly what we all need to be doing. We need to remember that to put civility into our life, you know, that's one of the steps that we would need to take. It's just like having a cell phone. You know, you can't have the cell phone ringer go off in the middle of a meeting or a lecture or the symphony. I've been hearing about people text messaging at some of those events, you know, in addition to the ones that you mentioned.
Yeah, it's funny, too. I knew the one big chief when I used to work for CBS, and he'd have this great big powwow, and all the general managers of all the CBS radio stations would get together, and they'd have this big meeting. In fact, his name's Mel Karmazan, who went on later to run Sirius and is running Sirius, et cetera, XM. And what he told the people that were at this meeting is, if anybody's cell phone goes off, you're fired. No questions.
And
it's mostly,
you know,
it was mostly,
too. Really.
Yeah, it was mostly,
you know,
men.
We really need to respect the wishes of the person in charge when it's something
yeah.
like that.
Exactly.
To communicate, and you know, he wants to communicate with his team, make it successful, right?
Exactly. And what I was saying too is, it was mostly men who were managers that were in part of these meetings. Not all. There were some women, mostly men. Do you think there's a gender thing here? Are women better at cutting off the texting thing, or that doesn't matter?
I have not noticed a gender relationship to this. I'm seeing everyone do this. And I have, you know, I'm really fortunate that I do get to go to other parts of the country and, you know, be in different arenas, and everyone is doing this. So I don't think there's a gender relationship. Maybe they will perform a study on that. You know, that would be maybe another study that might, you know, come in the future.
How bad is it to text when you're on a date?
Oh, I think it's horrible. And in fact, I've written about that. I have some articles out on that where I was witnessing this at a restaurant, and I was absolutely astonished that this is how the communication process was moving along rather than the verbal communication. They were text messaging back and forth, and who knows who else was involved with that, because they could have been text messaging to two or three different parties.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, speaking of technology, I thought I'd throw this out here, too. Is there also, when it comes to all the devices we have, is there any kind of internet etiquette that people should learn that they just are really not observing right now?
Yes, actually, it's very interesting that you bring that up. One thing that, and I really noticed this with the different generations, you know, the Gen X, Gen Y, you know, I'm really noticing the ones who are doing this more. But when you are emailing, internet technology is all, you know, we're emailing. It's quick. We can talk to anybody anywhere. It's wonderful. But when you are talking to someone, you really need to put it in a letter format. You know, it's just a proper format. Dear so-and-so, the body of the letter, you know, type in there what you need to say. And, you know, some sort of closing, kind regards, but you need to spell check it as well. And I see this all the time. And I notice that the younger part of the population, they do not ever use a greeting. You know, the beginning of your formatting of the letter, they never say dear so-and-so. They just blur, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they don't even sign it. So if you're not familiar with the person's email address, you're not going to really know who that email might be coming from.
Yeah, no kidding. I've noticed that, too. You know, it's there's something about it with not spell checking and the small I's and the words that are so butchered and the fragmented sentences. I mean, if you're going back and forth with your buddy, different thing. But now so many jobs you apply through the Internet. And I got to think, in some companies, that you could be, you could have a great degree, you could probably be perfect for the job, but one mistake like that and not putting the greeting and not signing it and all that sort of stuff, I would have to think, Susanna, don't you, that would knock some people out of contention?
Yes, and also really paying attention to know if it is grammatically correct, because spell check doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. And that's part of, like, the text messaging issue as well. And this comes up all the time with the, like, younger population when I'm out doing lectures, you know, for different groups of the population. But the grammar is really, really just fading away, because if you know, text messaging is all abbreviated. And that's filling into the emails. You know, that goes into the emails. So you have to be really careful, and especially with the job and, you know, the situation that we have in our country right now, and actually internationally, you know, we have to be really clear that we're going to, you know, write our emails in letter format, make sure they're grammatically correct, spell check it, you know, and present ourselves with the greatest amount of success.
Oh, absolutely. Have somebody else look at it, all that kind of stuff. That makes sense to me. We only have like a minute and a half left, but an interesting article in Time this week. There was a guy who wrote the article talking about how he wasn't good at cursive because he's, you know, 26 years old and it's all about the computer. So we're losing the art of writing letters too.
Yeah, yes, we are. And it's necessary. We need to follow all, you know, follow up with thank you notes to people. And then they must be handwritten. Email thank you notes are not acceptable.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, yes, we're losing. Yes, yes.
I know. I used to love getting those letters, too, from people. My mother still, she has beautiful handwriting. She'll write me a note, and I'll be like, I got a handwritten note. It's not an email. But only my mother does that. It's very rare, anyone else.
Susanna Theo. All do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Susanna Theo, thanks so much for popping on ATN. We know it's late for you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, and again, she's with she founded this protocol and etiquette service back in the 90s, as I mentioned before. So that's what she does. She's the Miss Manners, and she tries to help people get it together so they can dress for success and send the thank you notes they're supposed to send, and be careful when they're on the internet, as we were just talking about that. And that's true. That I think it was this week's Time where I read that story, and I thought, oh, that's so sad, but it's so true. I have to confess, I have incredible penmanship when I print. When I write, and I had cursive in school, and when I write, it's okay, but it's not as good. My printing is perfect. I mean, just beautiful, but my cursive, not as good. I think also our technical director, Matt Johnson, has that in common with me. So it's always about the printing. People ask me to print things for them, but I can't do the cursive thing as well. I've got that signature like a doctor. Hang with us coming up, Odds and Ends. What happened over the weekend? We'll rewind for you.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button, and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette, and even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit premiumecigarette.com. That's premium, the letter E, cigarette.com. Premiumecigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
That's what he goes there for, is to unlock the door. All around him criticize and say, and through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again.
Coming up on our next America Tonight, we have the Dungeon. Oh, we got a great candidate for the Dungeon. And a couple of other interesting things on health care. Plus, we're going to have a special guest coming up from the Christopher Reeve Foundation as well. And later in the week, Harry Rinker, the guru of all things collectible, will join us. He does that in our second hour on Wednesdays. So if you have beer cans that you're collecting, coins, stamps, whatever it is, salt and pepper shakers, Civil War guns, who knows, Transformers, he's the guy to ask. And boy, those sales, estate sales and garage sales, it's like every time he comes on, I tell him that. I'm not kidding you. I can't believe how many I've seen. And it's not that I'm just aware of it, it's just that there's so many. I know it's the summertime, but still, really. So if you weren't at a garage sale this weekend, maybe you went to see Funny People, Adam Sandler's new movie. It's number one at the box office, but it doesn't really tell you much, because for Sandler, it wasn't as big of an opening as normally he's had for his recent films. But hey, number one is number one, and obviously people went to see it. So far, it opened with $23.4 million. To put it in perspective, Judd Apatow, who's the director, producer rather, writer, director, producer, the whole thing, of the show, of the movie, he was the guy who put together the 40-year-old version, and that opened at $21.4 million. So It's interesting in doing the comparison thing. There's a guy who struggled. You know, when they talk about not giving up, whatever your profession is, and perseverance, and all the millions of quotes about that. There's a guy who, for 20 years, kind of, you know, he was a writer on various shows, and he had some success, but he had massive breakout success since, like, 2005. And this is after 20 years in Hollywood. Now he's kind of writing his own ticket, because once you have a couple of successful films, then they trust you with the money. So Funny People's budget was $75 million, and they've already recouped $23 million, so you got to think that they're going to make that money back. And the other movie, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, second, $17.7 million. So the total for that movie is $255 plus in the millions. See, there's just something about Harry Potter. Boy, she hit the jackpot. J.K. Rowling did when she pulled that one out of those coffee shops where she was writing and was making absolutely zero money. Somebody picked up on it, and look how far she's gone with that. Also coming up in just a few minutes here on the show, we have birthdays. Martin Sheen is celebrating a birthday. Remember him from West Wing and a zillion other movies and stuff. And also, Tony Bennett is celebrating a birthday, and you might be surprised at Mr. Bennett's age. Still has great pipes, man. I saw him on Sundance Channel. There's this thing that Elvis Costello does where he has musicians come on, and all kinds of musicians, from Renee Fleming, who's an opera singer for the Met, to, you know, a guy like Tony Bennett, to current hot guys that are rockers. So it's kind of fun to watch, because it's such an eclectic group, and Tony Bennett was on, and the crowd went crazy, crazy, crazy for him. Odds and ends means that we kind of catch you up to date on some things that are happening that we might not have mentioned on the show, but we want you to know about, like this. Ford is reporting that their July sales really jumped, and can you imagine why? Well, of course, the cash for clunkers really pushed them in that direction. And when they're talking about the kind of month, you think of what it's been like for dealerships, and people, of course, scared to death, not wanting, in a lot of cases, if they don't have the money, not willing to try to figure out a way to get a new car, of all things. But they say that, you know, part of the success is dealers have told Ford execs that they think part of the reason for the success is that the company didn't take federal stimulus money either. And, of course, they're going to throw out their rhetoric that they get fuel economy and all that other sort of stuff. But they really believe that the perception, and that people were supporting them because they didn't take the money. Maybe there's some truth in that. And then the clunker thing has helped them as well. There's been, like, what did I say the other night? 200,000 cars were sold as a result of that program. And they were talking about running out of money, but they were going to figure a way to honor it, because it was shocking at the kind of reaction they got. I don't think ultimately in Washington. Gee, imagine that. When they were putting the idea together, they didn't believe that that many people would come forward, though they were hoping for a good reaction. So they weren't prepared, I guess, money-wise, to pony up what they had to pony up. I was mentioning before that Harry Rinker is coming on later in the week. I wonder what he'll have to say about the penny. Do you know that the penny is in its 100th year? And there has been a movement afoot to get rid of the penny, to just take them out of circulation. And without much success, I might add. So it has come and gone, the anniversary, because it was over the weekend, August 2nd. 100th, still the longest running U.S. coin in circulation. The U.S. Mint has been pumping out these 1 cent coins since it was founded, 1792. But the 1909 penny, which replaced the Indian head coin, was the first coin on which a president's likeness appeared. So that happened in 1909. It was Teddy Roosevelt who commissioned the coin to celebrate the 100th birthday of Abraham Lincoln. And as I said, some pennies, or the idea of pennies, getting rid of pennies, has been circulating a lot. But I don't think they'll get rid of them. Are you a penny fan, Matt? Do you have a jar full of pennies somewhere?
I don't necessarily have a jar full of pennies anywhere. I got a change jar that I put, you know, all the coins in, and then I usually take the quarters out and do a little laundry, since I have to pay for that. And then I bring the change into the bank and get some dollars back, but I don't have a collection of pennies or coins, really. My dad does, now that I think about it. He's got a big jar of old quarters and different things like that.
He could have some, a little bit of money could be in that jar, depending on what the coins are. But when you say, but I have a jar, jar too.
I'm just remembering this. I think I actually do have some old coins that my grandma gave me years ago. And they might be like World War II style, something like that. So
see, depending on what kind of coin it is, it could be worth a little change. You should pull those
out. Well, now I'm
going
to have to go pull them out.
Pull them out. That could do a whole lot of wash for you in the future.
There you go.
But the change jar is brilliant because what happens is so many people, I know you can relate to this, where, remember David Fletcher, when he used to work on America Tonight, he talked about that. He threw all his change in jars and had, you know, 8-9 jars underneath his bed. And there is something about that, that you just sort of throw the change, because change is kind of pesky, right? You're always looking for bills. And if you're a woman and you're listening, if you have a purse or whatever, they collect on the bottom of it. If you're a guy and you have a wallet, there's really no place. You have some errant money in your pocket, but a lot of guys don't want to walk around with change. It's a pain. They have other things, keys, whatever. So the throwing it in the jar is great. Last time I threw it in a jar, I had no idea how much money it would be. It was like a medium size, almost like the giant Swizzlers when you get the red licorice thing. It was like kind of that size of a jar. Threw a bunch of money in there, just forgot about it, threw a bunch of money, you know, with the tolls and everything. And went to cash it in, and to my surprise, it was like 300 and some bucks. I was stunned. And most of it was silver. I didn't have too many pennies in there. So that's the thing with those jars. You want to make sure that you throw your pennies in, but have more silver, for goodness sake. But 100th birthday for the oldest coin. Catherine Jackson in Odds and Ends is waging a legal battle for control of her son's estate. She's returning to court, actually, on Monday. And this is in front of the same judge who's supposed to, or they expect, will award her the permanent guardianship of the three children. So there's going to be dozens of lawyers, you know, once again, packing this L.A. courtroom. The judge is going to figure out whether or not the Jackson family matriarch's challenge of the lawyer and the former music executive named as the executors, because that's who were supposedly in the will stand, or Catherine Jackson will become the one who rules the estate. There's a big difference there, right? They filed that petition last week saying that the guys who control the estate are intent on keeping her in the dark and not letting her know about deals they've made or negotiated. Because here we go again with the Michael Jackson thing. Much like Elvis Presley, now in death, imagine what he's, sadly, what he's worth. I mean, they say the Jackson estate was worth $2 billion, but in court, they're saying the value is you know, $500 million. So is it $2 billion, $500 million, either way, ton of cash. Remember, he was $400 million in debt. That'll get erased. And in this will, it was written in 2002, and it places all of his assets into a family trust benefiting his mother. That was one of them. His three children and some unnamed charities, and then this other will came up. But it never ends. I mean, the whole Michael Jackson lawsuits, controversies, I think it's going to continue in well into the next year. Speaking of continuing, next we have This Day in History, birthdays, and news you can abuse.
Her- Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. The 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the ebook. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. And start changing your life today.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will.
Hey, everybody, Kate hanging with you here in America tonight. Each and every show, we like to throw down the birthdays, who's celebrating one. Also, rewind, re-rack, flip another page on the calendar and what's happened in history, plus news that you can abuse. Sometimes it'll, I think, make you chuckle at some of the ridiculous things people have done. And in speaking of birthdays, celebrating a birthday the other day, worth mentioning a couple of people. Judge Ito. Remember how famous he became because of the O.J. Simpson trial? The dancing Itos. Anybody recall that? Jay Leno. 59 years old. Also, the goofy blonde from Saturday Night Live. Victoria Jackson. 50 years old. She was, I want to say she was a cast member from the mid-80s to the early 90s. She had a pretty decent run on that show. And also, there's a great actor. I mean, I enjoyed some of his later work, but remember him when he first was on The Terminator, Judgment Day. He was John Connor in Terminator 2. Edward Furlong, 32 years old, and that was the other day. Coming up, we have birthdays. A couple of them I already told you about, not how old they are, Martin Sheen and Tony Bennett. And there's some other pretty famous people on the list. I'm going to say that you're going to know every single person on my abbreviated list. I decided to shrink it down just for you and to give you some birthdays that you have half a chance of realizing who these people are, of knowing who they are. First news you can abuse, though. We head to Los Angeles, then New York, first in L.A. UCLA wants to undo the Undie run. Apparently, the administrators of the University of California in Los Angeles are telling students, we want you to keep your pants on. This Undie run is a campus tradition. It goes back to 2002, so it's not that old of a tradition. And three times a year, students make a dash in their skivvies after dark, but what's happening is the nearly nude runs are so out of hand. You got like 10,000 people that are showing up on campus. They don't even know if they belong on campus. They're not all students. They had fights, vandalism, booze related to medical emergencies, all kinds of things. So the students really want to keep this alive, and they're trying to work out these safety issues so that they can hold the next Undie run in December. Sounds like too many problems. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that off. Imagine the things that you do when you're in college and what you're thinking about. New York, going green is a big problem for NYPD Blue. Check this story out. The police department has about 60 gas-saving Nissan Altima hybrid cars. But the edges of the seat curl up. So when officers get out of the hybrid squad cars, their gun handles give them a poke in the hip. Oof. They say the cars are going to be given flatter seats and a lower center console. The modification of the green squad cars is going to cost $1,100 each. See, when they're designing this, they're not thinking that, of course, and then trying to do a good thing. Well, we're going to go green. Who knew that that would happen with the guns? Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Police in western Pennsylvania say they busted a suspected bank robber who was actually counting his money. Oh, what a mistake that is. You never count your money. Officers say they found David Morgan counting the loot as he was walking several blocks from the scene of the robbery. But he was pretty polite to them when they nailed him. The chief says that Morgan's note asked a teller to please give him all the money in her drawer. He even put a smiley face on it. Oh, well. Crime is crime, and that's not going to probably help him too much when ultimately he is sentenced for it. Rochester, Indiana, we go. Some people on an Indiana golf course are shooting for more than par. The city council has okayed a plan to allow geese hunting, wow, at the Round Bar Golf Club. The golf pro told the council that as many as 1,000 Canadian geese spend the winter there, and it damages the turf and makes things a mess. He says attempts to scare away the geese have failed, including starter pistols and air horns. The Rochester Sentinel is reporting that the pro told council members the club will seek about five off-duty police officers to do the hunting during the off-season. Yeah, the geese thing can be a mess. When I lived back east, oh, I wish I could think of the name of the course. I used to play at a course in New Jersey that the former quarterback for the Eagles had, Ron Jaworski. And it was a decent course. It was reasonable. It was great. But the problem was, they had geese problems, so you never knew what you were walking into on that course. And even if you kept the ball straight, it could be disastrous because of the mess the geese made. But they didn't do that in Jersey, so they didn't let them go off and shoot. There it might be more difficult, but not in Indiana. Montgomery, Alabama, being banned in Bama, they say, is good for business, at least for one California winemaker. The label on Cycles Gladiator Wine actually shows a stylized kind of nude female nymph with a flying bicycle. The Alabama Alcoholic Beverage Control Board ruled the label violates their standards against immoral or sensuous display. So the wine is made by Hahn Family Wines. The president says the company is readying a banned in Bama marketing campaign. He adds, visits to the company's website have jumped tenfold since the ban. What do we always say? Controversy sells. So, of course, they're very happy that Alabama did that. Montana, at age 112, Walter Bruning is in big demand. A whole lot of people want to talk to him since he was named the world's oldest man. I think we even talked about that. He lives in Great Falls, Montana, in an assisted living center. That's incredible. Officials say they're being swamped with calls from radio talk shows from around the country, but the most senior of seniors isn't happy with some of the questions. One official at the nursing home tells the Great Falls Tribune that Bruning doesn't want to be asked if he has a girlfriend or what being the oldest man means to him. He would rather discuss more intellectual matters such as history or world affairs. Boy, he had a real glimpse into history. He'd be interesting to talk to. Maybe we'll try to get him on this show. What's one more request, right? A couple of things in history. Columbus set sail in 1492. In 1988, as we leap forward, Soviets released the Matthias Rust, if you remember that. If we go back even further in history, in 1797, Lord Jeffrey Amherst died. We go to our automotive history. Remember 1941, gas rationing began in the eastern part of the U.S. And if you go back to the 1900s, Firestone was founded. I think I've always had Firestone tires, at least the best I can remember. In 1949, the NBA was born. Think of how far the NBA has come from those days. In 1861, the last installment of Great Expectations by Charles Dickens was actually published. In the meantime, in 1948, Chambers accuses Hiss, you know who I'm talking about, of being a communist spy. Let's just say all hell broke loose. In the Old West in 1846, the Donner Party encounters its first delay. How the Donner Party did what they did is still amazing to me. All right, time for birthdays. Cue it up, maestro.
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
It's funny, earlier on Sports Shorts, we mentioned that the Patriots passed on Michael Vick, saying, well, we have Tom Brady. And they certainly do. The New England Patriots quarterback, who has a handful of Super Bowl rings, 32 years old. Boy, he has a lot to celebrate. Giselle, you know, his young son, all that other sort of stuff. And just incredibly what's happened to him since he stepped in as a signal caller of the Pats. You might have heard of this name. James Hetfield is a lead singer and guitarist for the heavy metal band Metallica. I used to really like Metallica. 46 years old. How about this? Dennis the Menace. Did you ever catch any of those old episodes on TV Land? 58 years old. John Landis, director of the Blues Brothers and Animal House, 59 years old. Martha Stewart, does she need an introduction? 68 years old. Martin Sheen, actor, West Wing, Apocalypse Now, 69 years old. And finally, happy birthday to the man who sings I Left My Heart in San Francisco, Tony Bennett, 83 years old. Ooh, happy birthday to you from America Tonight if you're celebrating one.
Okay, bye-bye. Show's over, folks. Bye-bye. Let's move. Bye-bye. Let's pick this thing up. Let's go for it. Top. One, two, three. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for flying with us. Bye-bye.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Bye-bye.
I don't get it.
There's nothing to get. Bye-bye.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.